How did it feel last night being up on stage?
Are you recording?
No.
Just scary and exciting and fun at the same time.
You did. You were great up there.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, let's go.
We're on. Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're continuing with Radiohead's Kid A. It was released in it was released in October 2nd, 2000. And you can call it experimental rock, you can call it rock, you can call it electronica, but it is.
You can call it Susan.
It is what it is, you know. Who are you channeling right now?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Aren't you channeling someone?
No.
You don't feel like you are? Okay.
Who does it look like I'm channeling?
No one. I was just wondering if you were channeling someone.
No.
Do you feel like I'm channeling someone?
I don't.
All right, let's move on.
Like, what are you, like, I'm channeling Liza Minnelli or something?
Yeah, how'd
okay.
You know?
I do, with your gold chain sticking out of your hoodie there. I feel like you're channeling, I don't know.
Okay. This album, it was released on Parlophone and Capitol Records, and its themes and concepts deal with existential dread and the unsettling transition into the digital age. And today...
Hold on a second.
No.
Okay.
We're talking about Idiot Tech, Morning Bell.
And Motion Picture Soundtrack.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
One of my favorites, too.
Copycat. All right, but before we start, let's talk about missed opportunities.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you last time. Are you feeling more optimistic or in limbo these days?
Mostly optimistic.
That's good.
I didn't think I was going to after November 6th, but...
Persevere.
Yeah.
And did you know Radiohead did a Christmas song called Winter Wonderland?
I did not.
I forgot to show you.
Damn. Can we listen to a little bit of it now?
Yeah, let's check it out.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to mention, I think this album had an impact on me because I was still reeling from the spirit of 1999, you know? Where a lot of films came out like Fight Club, The Matrix, American Beauty, and Being John Malkovich. It's just like very cerebral and existential stuff, and this wave of cinematic art just stuck with me, and I felt this music really fell in line with that.
Wow. You're going deep early in the podcast.
Yeah.
Did you know that Brad Pitt and Edward Norton wanted Radiohead to score Fight Club, but they were exhausted after OK Computer? And they were also busy making Kid A.
Yeah. So you would say, in a way, that Kid A is what Fight Club soundtrack would have sounded like if they were able to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so think about that next time.
It'd be cool to play it with the movie in the background.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
All right.
All right. Also, speaking of soundtracks, did you know that before Radiohead worked on this album, Tom and Johnny Greenwood, along with other musicians, recorded some songs under the band name The Venus in Furs?
Oh my gosh. For the Velvet Goldmine soundtrack, right?
Yes, from 1998.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Not to be confused with The Velvet Chainsaw. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. Well, also...
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it.
Okay.
Also, I just realized this album shares similarities with Björk's Vespertine in the way that it's glitchy. Mm. It has an instrumental track in the middle, it has harps, and these artists just feel more disciplined and relaxed, like they're taking a quiet moment and stepping outside of the big picture, looking in, you know?
Yeah. You thought about that all by yourself?
I did.
Good. It's very poignant.
Want to talk about Idiot Tech?
Yes, track number 8.
I'll let you unwrap that.
I'll do it down here. What's your first impression on the album?
I guess it's just like, it's like discotech, but for idiots, I guess. It's just immersive, brilliant, electronic, physical music.
What do you mean by physical?
Well, I mean, like, this is the most electronic song on the album, besides everything in its right place.
Okay.
You know?
I got it. Idiotech came from Johnny Greenwood's improvising on vintage analog drum machine for 50 minutes, that's it.
Oh, you can do longer?
No, I'm just saying, like, he came up with this whole thing in 50 minutes.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean... He's brilliant.
Yeah. In the context of Kid A, it is the second song that seems aggressive, national anthem being the other.
Oh.
Yeah. So after it is finished, everything slows down and you just get this feeling the track relieves them of something that lets them transition into two of the most harmonically beautiful tracks in their entire discography.
Yes.
Absolutely. So go ahead and tell me about production.
Well, most songs are duple meter, which is groups of two or four beats. But occasionally you'll hear triple meter in songs, mm-hmm. which is like a group of three, like a waltz. But very rarely do people do like four. So like Radiohead in this song. They're compound meters, which are irregular combinations of twos and threes. You got that?
Right on. Well, the prominent drum beats were made on a modular drum beat machine called Analog Systems RS-8000.
And there's a couple of samples on the song, including Short Piece by Arthur Krieger, and the main sample of the song, Mildun Lise?
I don't know.
By Paul Lansky, which is made on a room-sized IBM computer.
Have you seen those?
Yeah. And now your phone is 10 times more powerful than that. We saw them at a museum. Where were we? Remember we saw the old computer? Somebody doing donuts outside?
Shit.
We were in a museum and we saw all those cool, like, old walls of computers.
Huh. Are you thinking of the speaker system? The sound system?
No.
Oh.
But yeah, it was that place. Same place.
MoMA.
In?
SF MoMA?
No.
Oh.
We're in Europe somewhere.
Oh, in Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, was it in Milan with the instrument?
Oh, yes. Museum? Yes.
Yeah.
It was there.
That was cool.
Okay. It's also an electronic version of Tristan and Isolde by Wagner.
Yeah. And both these songs are from a 1976 compilation called Electronic Music Winners.
I like that name.
Yeah.
It says what it is.
It sure does. And the song ends with the drone sound created by laying and putting effects on Ed O'Brien, his guitar playing.
They did a good job with that.
Yeah, it just sounds like nothing else. Mm.
Okay, so what about the lyrics? Well, what's your favorite lyric?
My favorite lyric is, "I'll laugh until my head comes off. I'll swallow till I burst." It really conveys a sense of anxiety and delirium brought on by modern times, you know?
Mm.
Don't I know it?
And what's your interpretation?
Well, I would say all the words bring to mind a sense of danger and disaster where people need to flee to safety. It also makes me... It also makes references to war, global warming, disease, corruption, and politics, and technology.
Wow, it's...
It's got everything.
Okay, so remember I was listening to this at the gym the other day?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the lyrics on Spotify.
Yes.
And I got this picture of Thom Yorke as like a creator figure who's looking down on the planet and he's laughing at what a mess humans have made.
Yeah.
Of it. Because it's like, who's in the bunker?
Yeah.
Right? Like, while... He's also contemplating his own mortality of like, you know, here I'm alive, everything.
All of the time.
Yeah. Here I'm alive, everything all the time. So.
I don't know what to tell you.
No, that he's like this creator just looking down at people like, you know, like you made a mess of things.
I know.
That's what I got from it.
Okay. It's a shame. Well... To give you some talk about music videos.
They don't have a music video.
No. But if there was, I'd say it's like something cliche. You know?
Okay.
But there is a video of the band performing the song in the studio directed by Grant G.
And have you ever seen this live?
No. Well, yes, I did. But guess what?
What?
I don't remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Any you of it. That. Yeah, and I would remember something like that.
Yeah, especially about these guys.
Hey.
And Thom always does a crazy dance when they do this song. We saw him doing it tonight, just this year, or last year. And it's still crazy.
Yeah.
It's kooky.
It sure is.
Yeah. You said he looked homeless, but...
I did not. They messed this one up in 2012 in New Jersey.
Can we hear that mess up?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know. Go with it.
Yeah, you could have just said, this is our new experimental song.
And people would love it.
It's an experimental remix.
And what do critics have to say?
The critic, the enemy, said, "Idiotech is everything perfect in the song. It's otherworldly and beautiful sounding, yet extremely sad and relevant lyrically. The song creates a dark and eerie atmosphere crafted perfectly using electronic-based instruments in which signified a final goodbye to the band's old original sound. Idiotech also puts forth some of the, if not the best vocals from the band to date."
Do you concur?
Sure.
Okay. This is a lot of words. Why did you have to say so much?
Showing it, sis.
What's your personal experience with this song?
Well, my brother said he broke down at school while listening to this song, and he was thinking of 9/11. Should I call him right now?
Yeah. You think he'll pick up? It's only 8:30.
No, he's asleep.
Come on, it's Friday night.
Well, did your brother ever go by Dr. Dre?
Yeah, because his name's Dre.
Your brother?
Andre. No, did your brother ever go by?
Yes.
Really?
No. Some people call him Dre.
But Dr. Dre?
No, doctor.
I just feel like... Because even his Instagram is like Dre Castro or something.
I think so.
Okay, so I just thought it was a thing he went by, so I just figured maybe they called him Dr. Dre.
Well, I think you should call the fourth person in your contact list and ask them to be a guest on our podcast.
Okay.
Right now.
Person on my contact list?
Yeah, the fourth.
Like alphabet, or the last fourth person I called.
No, the fourth person in your contact list.
Adam, Adrian, Humbert. It's my fucking mom.
Call it.
Okay, who has this song been covered by?
It's been covered by Mode Selector, Reggie Watts, Flying Lotus, and Buff Corell. Y'all know Buff Corell.
Is that a picture of Buff Corell?
That sure is. Describe it for us, please.
Oh.
For the people at home.
Who's that actor he looks like? I don't know. Kind of like the old man, the old Spice man with a wig.
Okay.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. And he looks like he's gonna, like, squeeze your titties.
Yeah. Well, there's also a mashup with Eiffel 65's Blue Domini.
Wait, is Buff Corell a real person?
Yeah.
And that's a picture of him?
Do you want to hear the cover?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Okay. What do listeners have to say about this song?
It's all like boom, chi, boom, chi, boom, boom, chi. And that's Tom's all like everything all of the time.
Did you write that review? Another reviewer said, I believe it continues the fragility of the album on top of that drum beat. Whilst being the pinnacle of the paranoid feeling the whole album has. I mean, this both lyrically and musically. Okay.
Yeah. I think we should move on to track 9. Morning Bell.
Morning Bell. What's your first impression?
If you're not listening to it at night, driving down a deserted highway, then you're doing it wrong. So.
Radiohead made Morning Bell in Copenhagen. Have you been to Copenhagen?
I have not. Have you?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Fuck it. Let's go right now.
No, maybe we go there instead of Berlin. I don't know.
I don't know much about Copenhagen.
I know people there.
Okay. Shh. Yeah.
Okay. But then it came back to his memory later when he was on a plane coming back from Japan.
Yeah, it's crazy how that happens.
Does that happen to you?
Do you think creatively? Just come back to my brain.
Like something that you want to remember and you can't, and then it just comes back to you.
It's rare, and I hate it. And especially songs. If I forget a song, it's gone.
Oh.
For life. You best believe.
I bet at some point in the future you're going to be able to rewind your memory, you know, like your thoughts.
That would be awesome. Record your dreams, rewind
your thoughts. Not even your dreams, just... Like you're walking between, you know, the living room and the bedroom and you think something and then you can rewind it and see what you thought.
And then delete it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
All that shit floating out there, your thoughts. Can you imagine?
I know.
All right. What else?
Well, an alternative version of the song titled Morning Bell Amnesiac appears on their next album after this, Amnesiac, in 2001. And Ed O'Brien said that they often record different versions of songs and this version was strong enough to be released. And York said it came from such a different place. And it sounds like a recurring dream.
What did you just say?
You heard what I said.
Yeah, I think it's a cool pop song. It's experimental, but also unpretentious. You know, like it feels genuine. It's a hard combo to find.
You're not gonna get any better than that.
No, sorry.
Also, I want to shout out the Amnesiac.
I want to shout out the Amnesiac version, which I didn't like. I remember when I first heard it, I was like, "Meh," because I heard that after this one. But now I really like it almost as much as this one.
Which one? I think this is my favorite of the two, of the versions.
I just really didn't like the other one when I heard, because I heard this one first, and then, but then I've come around. I've listened to it a few times, and now.
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you about production.
Tell me all about it.
The song starts with a racing drum.
And you can still hear the droney guitar from the previous track. Right?
Yeah. And I need to mention, I really appreciate how the songs on this album flow into each other. Like, there's no stops on this journey. No bathroom breaks. And then a soft Rhodes piano comes in with some bass. The song concludes with rhythmic guitars and psychedelic screaming guitar sounds and skipping or repeating guitar sounds.
I feel like Eddie Murphy dressed like Rasputia would be like the Rhodes piano coming in with some bass.
Yeah. Okay.
Like if someone had to play her in a movie, it'd be Eddie Murphy. Okay.
Anyway. It sounds like you're running in your mind from all the demons that keep you up at night. Yeah, you. I'm looking at you.
What about sound design?
It just, the whole thing kind of has a flamenco rhythm.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Okay.
Let's hear that, a little bit of that flamenco.
Oh, like right now?
I don't know. Tell me about the lyrics.
It sounds like it's about a bad breakup, but it could just be a collection of phrases swirling in Tom's little brain.
Is that what you call
him? Yeah.
Wasn't this one of the songs where they just put lyrics in a hat and pick them out?
Yeah.
So that's why it is how it is.
That's how I write lyrics. So I guess, yeah, that's how I write lyrics.
Okay.
Kind of.
Can you share some of the lyrics? What's going on out there?
I don't know.
You were going to share some of the lyrics.
I don't know when you're at the top of my head.
Aren't they right there in the notes?
Oh. Yeah. I wanted to tell you, but you never listen. The lights are on, but nobody's home. And everyone wants to be your friend. And nobody wants to be afraid. And everyone wants to be your friend. I keep walking, walking, walking. What's your favorite lyric?
I don't know. What's yours?
Sleepy Jack, the fire drill, round and round, cut the kids in half.
Okay.
And I don't know what it means, but it's catchy and provocative. Like, what's a Sleepy Jack?
I'm about to tell you.
Tell me.
Okay, so I think this is about Santa Claus, this song. And so, like, you know, it's a howling down the chimney.
Yeah.
But then it's about how he gets stuck. So he's like, release me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits his head and his brain gets all mixed up. And that's why he's like, park the car. Where did you park the car? Even though he's talking about his sleigh. Okay. And then he thinks that, like, his job is to punish bad children. right? Instead of giving them gifts, because he hit his head. So he's like, cut the kids in half. You know, the ones that weren't good.
Yeah.
And then he, because then he's like pissed at the kids, because he's like, you know, they've kept him in this job, this thankless job for eternity. So that's why he's like, nobody wants to be a slave.
I didn't know this was a Christmas song.
So Santa's like, feels enslaved by all the kids he has to deliver presents to.
Oh, and the morning bell is like a sleigh bell.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Morning.
Yes.
Anyway. I thought, because isn't there this, the Judgment of Solomon where they cut the kids in half in the Bible?
Yeah, but this is a Christmas.
Okay. Tom said also it's about living in a house with a ghost. Spooky.
I felt when I first moved into the house in LA, when I was like fixing it up, like gutting it, and contractors were there, there was ghosts in there. Because that house was 120 years old.
Did you ever catch anything?
And the woman, the woman who built the house was the first female doctor in Los Angeles.
Did you?
And she did like surgeries and stuff in the house.
Nasty.
No. It's cool. Anyway, I felt like her ghost, or the ghost of her patients, was in there.
You should bring ghost hunters into that house.
Well, it's not mine anymore.
So,
is there a music video to this song?
Well, fashion photographer Toyin Ibidapo made a version of a shirtless guy with long hair rocking out to this song, and that's the closest thing you're going to get to a music video, so.
Someone had to do it.
Yeah.
Do you have any trivia about the song?
Well, they gave a pretty good performance of The Morning Bell in 2000 in Paris.
That just sounds like an opinion. That sounds like trivia.
Yeah. Do you know of any alternate versions or covers?
It's been covered by Martina Topley Bird and the Randy Watson Experience. Which one of those do you like the best?
I haven't listened to them, but if I have to choose now, I would say Martina Topley Bird because she collaborated with Tricky.
Okay, let's listen to it then.
There's also a version, there's a cover by Taka and Joe Edelman.
Who are they?
They cover every Radiohead song, and they put it on YouTube. Hey, come on.
You look slightly bothered.
Get a job.
They're going to listen to this. What do the listeners have to say? Speaking of judgment.
They said this Morning Bell song is a total magic trick of a song, the musical equivalent of waking up in the middle of the night and gradually realizing the presence of a sad, scared ghost.
Okay. Very gothy. From music review aggregation site Album of the Year, Morning Bell from this album holds a user score of 92 based on 2,591 ratings. So, that's a high score.
Yeah.
People like this song.
Sure do.
A lot.
That's good. It's a good song.
It's a good song. What cocktail would you drink and pair? What would you pair with it?
Gin and tonic with a twist, because, you know, it's chill, it's cold, it's...
Yeah.
Sophisticated, quiet.
I see that.
Two-ounce dry gin. Whatever. It's got tonic water.
It's got gin, tonic water, and a slice of cucumber.
And sprig of rosemary, because you can't forget that rosemary. Shoot. If you want it for the herbal edge. Herbal edge. And it's built in a highball glass over ice. Stir, garnish, whatever you want.
Make it yours.
Yeah.
Find your light.
And you can even eat it. You can do it with salt. Sea salt crisp.
That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something that we would have like in Sonoma.
Or... I feel like I'm drinking Moscato.
There's a rap there.
Strawberry Moscato.
Let's talk about track number 10.
Motion Picture Soundtrack.
What's your first impression of this song? Let's talk a little bit about the song first. So it goes back to when Tom was writing Creep in 1992. And he premiered this song on a radio show in Rockville in 1996 while he was touring America.
So it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
What's that one called?
At the moment it's called Motion Picture Soundtrack, because I thought that would be a really good way to get on MTV.
I can see that. Sure, all right. That's a new song.
And, this is my other favorite song off the album, and another song to have a good cry to. But it feels, like, happy while being sad at the same time. I don't know if I mentioned that. But, you know. So it's like, I don't know. It's like it feels hopeful.
Do you remember when you first heard it?
When I first heard it, I felt like this is what church music would sound like.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd go to that church.
I'm trying to think of another song that's like that. But okay. Do you have a personal story?
Yes, I have a personal story to tell. So.
Everybody's house is burning down. Turn off your Christmas lights. Or get some new ones. Stop using those janky, wiry ones.
That's so elitist.
Get some new ones. You look poor.
Okay, so... like 5 years ago, I met someone that I really liked. And then COVID hit and things got weird. And then I acted a fool. But then this guy kind of acted a fool too. And we ended up breaking up. But then for me, I could never completely say goodbye. And... I listened to this song a lot during that time.
Have you talked to him?
I don't know. Whatever.
Sounds like a jerk anyway. You deserve better. Honestly. Okay.
Do you have a story about this song? Tell me about why you cried to it.
I don't know. All the moments in my life where you gotta cry. And that's a lot, especially when you get older.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
When's the last time you heard this and cried to it?
Oh, man. Oh, well, I'll tell you. It's going to come up again. Yeah, just keep listening.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about production.
Well, the song opens with Tom playing an 1850s pump and organ from... West Virginia, called Putnam & Co. Harmonium. So it's called a pump organ because you're like using your feet to pump air, so it produces the sound. So
that's cool.
Don't hate.
I've seen old movies where there it's like a workout.
I would be happy to play a pump organ. Well, anyway, this is the same organ. We've talked about it before. Because this is the same organ from the song Thinking About You off their Pablo Honey album.
Like the actual same organ or the same type?
The same one.
Oh.
So they had this song and the organ for a long time.
Wow. And some harp samples come in at the second verse, which I think are inspired by Alice Coltrane because they cite her work a lot.
That's good. So? What did you say?
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
And while this is happening, Colin bows a double bass, which adds some heaviness to an already emotional song.
Bows a double bass.
Yeah.
What's a double bass?
It's like the big bass.
Yeah. Like it has two sets of strings?
Probably.
Oh, wow.
Because they're
cool.
They're the heavy, thick ones that produce a lot of bass. And that's all you need.
A heavy, thick one that produces a lot of bass?
Yes.
That's all you need.
And so he buys it instead of...
I bet he does.
And it gives it heavy, like... heavy cello. I don't know. Then it ends with some vocal samples from the 1963 film Donovan's Reef, starring John Wayne, your favorite.
Okay, well.
Also, a minute after the song, some electronic tones come, and it feels quite Brian Eno is blasting off into heaven. Do you like when albums do that? Just see, like, if you let it play in the very last track, all of a sudden this extra song comes in.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, because I feel special, because I feel like a lot of people are impatient and aren't going to take the time to...
There was an album, I'm going to have to remember what it is, that you had to wait, like, oddly it was a Pet Shop Boys album, but you had to wait, like, 3 minutes, and then it had, like, this last piece of music that felt like it really closed the album out. Yeah. And back then, it wasn't social media, so people wouldn't be talking about, like...
Or, like, when you put it on and you fall asleep, and then that song... We're on the same page.
Did this happen to you?
What? Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Did you used to fall asleep to this album?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
I clear my throat.
Oh, you can do it like that?
Yeah. No, I can't hear you. I can hear you.
Can you? Okay.
You know that?
No.
All right.
Seems like the lyrics are about emotional behavior and destructive behavior and being dramatic and stuff. And on the surface, it does seem like he's singing about a loved one lost to suicide.
Has he talked about that?
No. But...
What lyric do you like?
It's not like the movies. They feed us on little white lies.
Yeah.
I like it because I tend to think of life like a movie, and sometimes I have to stop and remind myself life isn't a movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it still is. Just think that someday somebody could write a film that mirrors your life.
Oh.
Without even having known you.
Never really thought of it that way. No. That happens to people all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
original lyrics?
Yeah, one of the original lyrics was "Beautiful angel pulled apart at birth, limbless and helpless, I can't even recognize you."
That sounds like a Nirvana song.
It does, and that makes sense, because this was written around the grunge times. Yeah.
What if there was a music video?
It would be all the moments you've cried in your life. Yeah. I think we were supposed to say, if you feel like harming yourself or others, you should go to wantotalkaboutit.com. It's not a laughing matter, but sometimes I can't help it.
You were doing so well.
Yeah. Anyway...
What do users have to say about it?
It's one of those songs that sticks with you. It doesn't try too hard, and it just is. And that's what makes it so beautiful.
You agree?
Yeah, it's a simple song, and yet it's so touching.
Touching.
Very touching.
Tell us a little bit of trivia about the song. What do the kids need to know?
They first played Motion Picture Soundtrack in 1997 at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C. on an acoustic guitar. Have you been there?
I have not. I wanted to go there once, but I couldn't get in.
Tell me why.
Because I didn't have a ticket.
Lame.
I thought I could just show up and...
Oh, I've been there.
To that club or to that situation?
Situation.
Where did you show up hoping you'd get a ticket?
I thought, like... Well, no, I think I just misunderstood because it was a Miss Kitten show in L.A. And I thought you could just show up and pay then and there. Because it's like a rave, it felt like, but... I guess it was something you had to get tickets for.
And then they didn't have any more.
Yeah, and so I just went...
What? What would you... I was just trying to picture you.
It's not funny.
And you didn't, like, utter a single word the rest of the night till you went to sleep.
Till I went to sleep. I said, fuck. Yeah.
They've only performed it 31 times. That seems like a lot.
Not compared to the other songs where they played it hundreds of times.
Okay. And the last time was in 2001 for their South Park Oxford show.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with TV South Park.
No. And that's when their organ broke or something, so that's why they can't play it anymore. So they played Creep instead.
Booker. Wait, they took the organ on tour?
Yeah. Well, it was like a digital organ or something. I don't know.
You said it was a pump organ that you had to like pump with your feet.
No, not that one. they didn't take that one.
That'd be a lot.
Yeah.
It's like a traveling circus.
Well, this song, Motion Picture Soundtrack, it has been used effectively in films and television shows like Nine Perfect Strangers, I, Origins,
and Westworld.
Westworld. Yeah, and so...
We really want another season of Westworld.
We do.
We did.
And it's...
Yeah, I'd still want to see it.
Yeah, it seems more relevant now.
More than ever.
But, yeah, when I saw it on Nine Perfect Strangers, that's the last time I've cried to this song.
Okay. What was it about the scene?
I don't remember. It was probably in combination what was going on with my life at the time.
Okay.
So, there's that. These are all tear jerkers for sure.
Yes. Are there any alternate versions or covers of this song? There's a lot.
There's so many versions that Radiohead made of the song before they committed it to an album. And you best believe I've cried to them all.
Okay.
Like, there's a version the band did while recording OK Computer. And there's a version Tom did on piano.
And it's been covered by Cigarettes After Sex, which I saw for the first time at a small music festival, and it was just like standing there with 50 other people. And then we saw them this year.
Yeah, like a...
And it was like...
Stadium.
And a stadium, and the audience was like Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Meets Mean Girls.
It was weird, but...
So after that show, I was like...
I was watching the videos today, and they're really cool.
Yeah.
So...
It was just the vibe was so off,
because
it was
like
all these tween girls with their parents.
Maybe that's just what it is, and we like teenage girl music.
Okay.
Well.
No, I knew them before they were Teenage Girl Music. It was like on some show or something?
Big. It's on social media a lot. Maybe TikTok. They do some.
No, but it was on some show, and that's how everyone found out about it.
Oh. It was in the movie The Last of Us with Blake Lively.
That one.
Or it ends with us.
Ends with us.
Yeah, she's like, bring your florals. It's about domestic abuse. You know? Bitch, read the room. Okay. There's a popular video on YouTube where an alumni of the Calgary Stampede show band performed this song in memory of Mackenzie May, who is a part of the band.
Let's listen to that.
It's cool. Would you want this song played at your funeral?
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to play?
Yeah, and much to your chagrin, there's a Taylor Swift love story mashup with this. What do you think of it?
I've never heard it. You want to play it for me?
Sure.
All right, I don't know. I wouldn't listen to it on purpose. Is there a cocktail for this song?
I don't think so.
Oh. Motion picture soundtrack. What's the most motion picture cocktail? Like, think of old black and white movies.
I'd say martini, but that's black and white.
Or just, like, when you think of the pictures. Scotch. You know? Yeah. I'd say probably a martini.
Or champagne.
Either champagne, martini, or like a glass of scotch with a big, or neat, actually, no ice cube.
Yeah. And I don't know. I couldn't get into the Miss Kitten show because I didn't have any tickets.
So you were telling me that this is one of your favorite albums of all time and you like love it, but at the same time, you don't have the same passion to talk about it as you do about Bjork or Air or bands like that.
Because I think
tell me about that.
The topic is so dark. And I guess I don't like talking about it. And no, I think it's a better album to listen to than talk about.
Interesting.
Because it is kind of doomy. I mean, there's some hope in it, but
I see. So it's one that you sort of take in, but you don't necessarily like
want to analyze on the topic
or want to spread the word about.
You just want to understand, you just want to feel the emotion and
like hit it and quit it.
Appreciate the craft, artistry behind it, but don't try to get into the songwriter's mind or
I see.
Whatever.
But Bjork, on the other hand, you, because I feel like she kind of wants you to. It's like a challenge. Well, like, see if you can figure this out.
I guess this album is closer to home than a Bjork album. And a Bjork album just feels like fantasy, or that you're inside of a girl's brain, which is, I guess, kind of foreign to me because, you know. And she comes from a foreign country that's unlike any other country in the world. And
yeah, that's true, because the UK is very much...
Yeah, similar to America.
They spawned us.
Yeah. Shame on them. And then...
Sucio.
Yeah, so... Like, Iceland is another world, and like Bjork is from another world.
Yeah. We're going to see her DJ one of these days.
Yeah.
I think soon.
Even if we have to bring her to our whole apartment.
Maybe Madrid, maybe London.
Yeah.
Maybe Berlin. But most likely Iceland.
Yeah.
So we need to fit that into our travel schedule.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Oh, yeah? Okay. What else? The album's done. Tell me... How do you feel about it today compared to when you first heard it? Let's go back to the album, not these songs, since we're closing out.
It still holds up, but I think what I like about it too is there's a lot of variety. It's not just the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, every song is different and unique, and
yet it feels cohesive. Like,
yeah,
it feels like it's all
right.
Like, together.
It's just a journey. And like all journeys, is timeless. And
wow, it's weird.
I think it's a nice turning point. Because yeah, it feels like a big dramatic change. And
okay, what else? Did you lose your virginity to this album?
No.
Before or after?
Well, after, because when they first got this, I was only 12.
Oh, I didn't know. And that's not too young.
For who? What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm just saying, people can lose their virginity at 12.
Yeah, I guess so, but...
Bitch, why you playing? Where you at?
Alright.
Where you at? Tell me where you at.
I'm just chilling. It's going to be Christmas, and then it's going to be New Year.
Yeah.
And that's all we could ask for.
Can't ask for more. For time to go on.
Yes.
In days to come.
Yeah. Just keeps on going. Never stops. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know,
because you think like, oh, Christmas is coming, like it's this thing that's going to stop time, but it's just another day.
Can time just stand still for one day?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't tell me any jokes during this.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Tell everyone bye.
Bye.
Bye.